Nicholas is now in Devon with his dear friend Smike, in the vain hope that the air might restore Smike's failing health. But before we join them, let us first visit two other friends, Sir Mulberry Hawk and his pupil, Lord Frederick Verisoft, who have spent a day of debauchery. First, Sir Mulberry gambled and lost half of Verisoft's money betting on horses. Now he is spending the rest of Verisoft's money on drink.
Oh, at last. I'm restored to health. I can get out and about. Oh, I've been so very poor. But I have some new excitement in store that's cheered me tremendously.
Oh, and what is that?
I sent Jenkins to seek out Nicholas Nickleby. As soon as I find his whereabouts, I shall take action. Action.
What action shall you take, Sir Mulberry? Sir Mulberry, answer me.
Hey, you shall find out when you read of it in the newspapers.
What shall I look for?
Well, I hope to give you a case of murder to read of. Or something very near it, if whipcord cuts and bludgeons bruise.
Are you in earnest? Tell me.
Oh, don't you recall what passed on the subject when I was laid up with a broken limb because of that boy?
Perfectly well.
Well, then take that for an answer in the devil's name.
If I remember what passed then, I expressed a strong opinion on this subject and said that without my knowledge or consent, you never should do what you threaten now.
Lord Frederick, I suggest you do not interfere in proceedings that I choose to instigate. You offer me advice, but I reject it. I think I know best how to conduct my own affairs.
Indeed you do not. That has become obvious.
Are you disagreeing with me?
I have no choice.
How dare you disagree with me? You made a grave mistake when you took Nickleby's side in this matter.
I made a graver one by not doing so earlier.
What has become of you? Well, you've changed. But you're still harboring fond thoughts of that wretched sister of his, Kate.
Do not speak of her in that way.
Ah. Well, she would never look at such a specimen as you, be assured of that. And you should be thankful, for she's a common slut.
Stop! Do not say another word. I will not hear your disgusting lies.
It's the truth. Kate Nickleby is a little slut. Oh, he struck me. He struck me. Do you hear? I say he struck me.
Yes, I struck him. I proclaim it to all here. I struck him. And well he knows why. I would happily do it again.
But now he threatens me. I will not stand for this.
The wrath in the two men's hearts needs very little kindling, and a duel is suggested.
A most excellent idea.
Very well. Very well.
They agree to meet at Ham House at Twickenham at dawn and leave to collect the pistols. While these two gentlemen prepare for their last meeting on Earth, Nicholas cares for his friend Smike with a heavy heart.
You are weary, Smike.
No, I'm not weary, truly.
We should rest a while.
No, no, let's not rest. I want you to take me to where you and Kay used to play when you were children.
Nicholas obliges, all the while keeping a watchful and anxious eye on his dear old friend, whose sands of life are rapidly dwindling away.
We used to play all round here, Smike.
Look at all those beautiful roses.
Kate planted that rose bush with her own hands, and we gathered wild flowers from these hedgerows. And see, over there. Over there our father is buried.
Why there?
One day, many years ago, Kate got lost, and after hours of searching, they found her fast asleep under that tree. My father decided then that he should like to be buried where his dear child had laid her head. And you see, his wish was not forgotten.
Sometimes Smike gazes at the grave, lost in his own thoughts.
I am weary now.
Yes. Come on, dear chap. It will soon be nightfall.
In London, it is dawn. Sir Mulberry Hawk and Lord Frederick Verisoft arrive at the appointed spot in separate carriages.
A beautiful day. I wish that I were anywhere but here. Or here for any other reason than this. Sir Mulberry, I bid you good day.
Verisoft,
The ground is measured, and the two principals are placed front to front at the distance agreed upon.
Give me my pistol.
Sir Marbury turns towards his young adversary for the first time. Lord Frederick smiles briefly at him, but Sir Marbury's face expresses only a violent and evil passion.
Ready?
There is a pause. Sir Marbury gazes at Lord Frederick steadfastly for a moment, then looks away at his weapon.
Ready. Now!
His blood is on his own head. He brought this upon himself and forced it upon me. Come, let us leave with all speed. I go to Brighton and then cross to France. Farewell to all, the living and the dead.
And so Lord Frederick dies by the hand of his old friend. The sun comes up in all its majesty. The river runs its winding course. The birds pour their cheerful songs from every tree. All the light and life of day comes on. And amidst it all lies Lord Frederick, with his stark and rigid face turned towards the sky.
Never think of me.
Under this same sky, we now join Nicholas and his friend, walking once more amongst the fields and lanes of Nicholas's childhood.
It's such a beautiful day.
Yes, as it seemed every day when I was a child.
Nicholas, could I ask a favour of you? Would you grant me a wish?
Well, of course. Tell me what it is, and if I can grant it, you know I shall.
Well, when I die, could I be buried as near as they can make my grave under the tree you showed me yesterday?
The tree under which dear Kate slept as a child?
Yes, you're the same.
Of course, dear friend. I promise it shall be done.
Though Nicholas hopes it will be many years before he must grant his friend his wish, only days later, Smike becomes too ill to move. And Nicholas carries him out to the orchard so they can watch the sunset together. Nicholas and Smike sit side by side in silence. Nicholas, weary from watching Smike through the night, quickly finds himself falling asleep. He has been asleep only a few moments when he is suddenly awoken.
No, help me!
Oh, good heavens, dear fellow, what's amiss? Be calm. You've been dreaming.
No, hold me tight. Don't let me go. There. Behind the tree, he comes for me.
You are imagining things. No one is there. Just you and me, old friend.
But I saw as plain as ever I see now. Do you remember me telling you of a man who first took me to the school?
Of course.
I raised my eyes just now towards that tree, and there he stood, with his eyes fixed on me.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'll never forget him. Just now he stood leaning on his stick and looking at me exactly as I remembered him.
What did he look like?
He was dusty with walking and poorly dressed. But directly I saw him, it all came back to me that wet night, his face when he left me. I remember it all so clearly. It was him.
Shh, don't fret so. Whatever it was, I shall keep you safe.
Another day passes, and now Nicholas begins to see that hope is gone, and the world is closing fast upon poor Smike. There is little pain, but there is also no struggle for life. Smike is worn and wasted to the last degree.
Are you there?
Of course. Always.
I have had such pleasant dreams. I almost think that if I could rise from this bed quite well, I would not wish to do so now.
Smike, do not speak of such things.
Nicholas, you have often told me we shall meet again, and now I feel the truth of that so strongly that I can even bear to be parted from you. For a while.
Very well. But let me hear you say you are happy, if you can.
I must tell you something first. I've kept the secret from you. I am sorry, but you would not blame me now, I know.
I blame you never.
You asked me once why I was changed and sat so much alone. Shall I tell you why?
Not if it pains you. I only asked that I might make you happier if I could.
I know. I hope you will forgive me. I could not help it, but though I would have died to make her happy, it broke my heart to see how... Oh, I know he loves her dearly, indeed. You could find that out so soon as I.
What do you speak of, dear chap?
I love your sister, Kate.
And she loves you, dear Smythe.
No. I am in love with her. Truly and deeply with all my heart and soul. Don't be angry.
I could never be angry with you.
I know that she does not and could not retain my love. And I know she does not and could not feel for me what she feels for him. A Frank Cheeryble. Here, look. I took a lock of her beautiful hair. I wear it here, at my breast, folded in ribbons that she has worn. I beg of you, when I am gone, place it in my coffin, so that it will rest with me in my grave.
Smike, anything you ask of me, I shall gladly do for you, my old and trusted friend. And you shall rest in peace in the place you have chosen. And Kate and I shall visit you often. And we shall never forget you, never.
Now I can say it. I'm truly happy.
And I am happy to see you at peace.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for me.
No. Thank you, dear fellow.
Smythe smiles and looks at Nicholas with shining eyes.
What is it, dear friend?
There are hills and meadows stretching out before me. They are filled with men, women and children. All are smiling and laughing. They beckon to me. There is a great light. It is Eden.
And Smike falls into his friend's arms and dies.
Smike.